Hello, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I hope you're doing all right. Hope you had an enjoyable week. It's Saturday here in San Antonio. Now, behind my backyard, the sun is going down behind the trees. It's a beautiful day. We got up early today. We went to a funeral, a woman at church. Her name was Daisy. We called her Mama Daisy. She was 87 years old. And I sang with her in the choir, the gospel choir at Lackland Air Force Base in Freedom Chapel for years. And she just died of natural causes. But she was a beautiful, beautiful lady. She had a great soprano voice. She used to love to sing this song called Order My Steps. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word, please. Order my steps in your word. And isn't that true? We need our mother and father in heaven, over there on that world of light in the distance. The origin of the soul and the spirit, because the spirit is made of light energy. Light energy. Don't you know you have a spirit in your body? How many people think that you don't? When you dream at night, your spirit leaves your body and it travels and it refreshes itself and meets people. I had a dream last night, a very detailed dream about a man who I met one time and who I loved his music. You wouldn't guess this person. His name is David Lee Roth, the lead singer for Van Halen. At one time in my life, I used to idolize him. I thought that he was like a god back then, a rock and roll god. Him and Eddie Van Halen and Alex and also Michael Anthony. He was an advanced soul, I think. I met him in person. It was on a sunny day in San Diego when I worked at this hotel on Mission Bay in San Diego. I was a bellman for 6 years there. That time seemed to fly. I made good money, lots of I was partying all the time. It was rock and roll and party. And I'm glad I got from that mission on track. And they pulled up outside the hotel in their bus. And we took the bags out because that's what we do whenever we get got used to getting. Tourists then, the stay hotel there, sometimes Japanese tourists, whatever the case may be, they always had bags we had to take up to the room. So I got out there and I got the bags loaded up on the cart, and there's probably more than one cart, maybe another bellman or two working it. But I started to lift these bags up on the curb, and they were pretty heavy. And I looked over to my left. Well, maybe it was to my right. I can't remember exactly, but there was David Lee Roth, and he was looking at me. And I must have shocked him because I was very surprised to see him looking at me. But the look in his eyes was like, I couldn't exactly interpret it, but it was words kind of like, if words could be expressed through his eyes, it was like, what is a guy like you doing this menial labor job? You have so much more potential. And in that first few seconds, those few seconds, there was a kind of an understanding between us from one soul to another. And I recognized him as an incredibly deep, profound kind of thinking person. You know, I'd never seen someone like him before. And I used to listen to his music, and I think around that time, that was when maybe they were with Van Halen. They were at that stage where they had just put out Van Halen 3, Women and Children First. If you're familiar with any Van Halen albums, there was the first one, Running with the Devil, and then there was the second one called Dancing, I think it was called Dancing in the Street, maybe, or Dance the Night Away. Another one, they had another song called Beautiful Girls. Anyway, I just idolized Van Halen, especially David Lee Roth. It was like an understanding between us. Anybody looking at me that way before? So I took the bags around the hotel, and I came into the center court on the other side, and I was pulling the cart of bags, into the high-rise building, which was around by the pool. And he started walking up behind me. So I thought I'd strike up a conversation with him. And I said, "Hey, David." I said, "What's your favorite band?" I just had some. He said, "Deep Purple." I said, "Didn't show many other people before." And that was great. They're at the sports arena in San Diego and saw them. And they were, but because I love Van Halen so much, and all of them, I thought I would take a chance and go ahead and follow them into the hotel. And I was walking alongside of Michael Anthony, Jack Daniels. I don't know if anybody heard me and I'm getting distracted here by one of the dogs. Anyway, so I was walking alongside Michael, and I said, "Can I have a drink from your bottle of Jack Daniels?" Bottle of drink, give it back to him. When I took the bags up into the room, I got a chance to speak with Alex, the drummer. And Alex got the room, and he jumped on the bed, and he asked me, "Where can I rent a Camaro?" I said, "Well, let me check. Let me see if I can find Camaro for you," because we worked with Dollar at the time. And I thought, pretty sure they didn't have any Camaros, but I got on the phone and called them up, and I said, "I don't know if they have any Camaros, but here you go. You can talk with them." And later on, outside the lobby, when I was there by the Bellman desk, I saw Eddie and Alex sitting down on the curb outside of the front lobby, and they were brushing each other's hair. Very loving brothers, you know. They were, of course, by that time, they were millionaires. They'd already been releasing albums for a few years and selling out concerts, and so they were into big money. And it was quite an experience. I decided to relate that to you because I had a dream last night with David, and it went on and on, and which we can't remember. And when we're born into this past life memories and access to universal knowledge and where we came from, that world over there in the distance, that world on fire, that very special world, not just an ordinary fire, my friends. And there's a lot of them around the universe, aren't there? And did you know that each one is a separate solar system with usually 9 planets? Number 9 is the number of the universe, my friends. Usually solar systems have 9 planets. Sometimes they have more, sometimes less. But they always revert back to number 9. And that world, you look inside of it with the eyes of the spirit. You'll see the world, planet Earth, with mountains and valleys, rivers, deep and trees, beautiful trees with fruit from the tree of life, 12 different kinds of fruit, and the water is pristine and pure, and everything's so brighter and more enhanced. And there are some colors there that you won't even recognize from here on Earth. And there are people to heaven. Everyone will eventually. Some of us not right away, because we have to pay for the karma that we have accumulated, maybe in this lifetime, the way we treat other people. Were we kind? Were we generous? Were our hearts pure? Did we abuse people? Were we abused ourselves? That will determine if we get to heaven right away, because we all came from heaven. When we were born into this world, every single person. Hold on just a minute. I got to let one of our dogs in. Hold on, please. Be right back. Okay, I'm back. And that world known as heaven, or this third world, when I was on my dream, in my dream, I was a spirit. There are spirits. Leave our body, like I mentioned. And you look, you remember any dreams? Can you remember just one dream that you had in your life? I think you can. Your eyes were closed, yet you were seen. You can remember that dream, right? How is that? Because those are the eyes of the spirit, my friends. We are spirits in the material world. And we are here to develop spiritual souls. We are born into this world. Certain intensity of light. Our souls are like lamps. They're a little piece from the original supreme creator of the universe. That fourth force, you might have heard me talk about the force universe before. You have four forces. The first force is the force that created the planets and moons and asteroids throughout the universe. All the sentient life, all the other beings that are out there, the beginning of life, my friends, your intelligence, life. Galactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, the intergalactic community, there are thousands and thousands of sentient beings like us, humanoid, all different types, different sizes and shapes and heights and different colored eyes and shaped eyes and sizes of eyes, and with different colors of skin, gray, tan, blue, green, anything you can imagine, wonderful beings in different stages of evolution. And the universe is divided into 9 stages of evolution, whereas one is the lowest, like this here on planet Earth, the category 1 planet. And the category 9 planet can be likened as to a heaven, like the real heaven, that world over there I'm looking at, that world of light shining. And we don't take that for granted, do we? We do take it for granted. I'm being distracted by one of our dogs who's being very difficult, so I apologize. I don't like to be distracted when I'm doing my radio show, because I need to stay on course here. Anyway, we have a puppy, a big puppy, and he is demanding a lot of attention always. I just can't, doing my radio show, I can't cater to his every need like he usually wants. Anyway. We are born into this world. We are souls and spirits. And the babies that we are in our mother's wombs, we are also a soul and a spirit. That's why when you decide we're the soul and spirit into the baby at any time after the heart starts beating until 9 months later. 9 months later. At any time, and the soul and the spirit, if we knew that each baby that was abortion being a reason, valid reason to end, that there have been aborted in the history of this world, then the number of people who have died in wars, what is the value of life to you, my friend? The value of life now is more than it used to be. over the years, over the centuries, throughout the history of the world, the value is increasing as we become more knowledgeable. Science has not proved the soul is eternal. Anthony, did you know that? Is that like a heart to be? Your soul is eternal. You will go on and on. You will not die. Yes, our bodies die. There are like coats that we wear that we shed when we transition to the spirit realms. They are like just a vehicle that we use to navigate this lifetime on this world, this planet. Our bodies are indigenous to the atmosphere of this world. We breathe oxygen, nitrogen, and the other chemicals that we need to sustain us living on this planet. Consider what I said when you think about abortion. I know that mothers have it very difficult. They have a difficult time making that decision, and they have to live with it for the rest of their lives. They have to have that on their conscience if they have a baby aborted. Yes, I understand about rape, but does that justify killing a baby? Because either rape or incest, you're still going to kill that baby? What if that was planned by heaven? And all births on earth are planned in the heavenly realms, my friend. Believe it or not, there is a great, huge, powerful, intelligent mechanism ongoing that determines where babies will be born and who the mothers will be. And all of this is planned in advance in the pre-existence, in our pre-existence in the spirit realms, or heaven, if you will. There are heavenly computers that will help you decide who your mother and your father will be and who your soul friends. Yes, we are all assigned to soul groups in heaven before we are born on planet. And your mother in this life could have been a soul friend in the pre-existence before you were born on this world. And now there's some blue jays over there in the distance. God, I pray for peace. Why are these birds giving me a hard time? Sounding off in the distance. Maybe people are afraid sometimes of some of the things I say because it's like taboo. It's esoteric information, but in my opinion, it's always good to talk about the spirit aspects of our beings, that we are spirits, that we are very special beings, and we are spirits in the material world, just like that song says. We develop ourselves actually for another reason, not for raising or working a job and making money, or for freedom and for pleasure. We are here, like I mentioned before, to raise the light of our souls. Because we have that peace. That's the fourth force. Going back to what I said, the fourth force is that infinitesimal piece of light that is in our souls, that lamp of our souls. Because when you pass over to the other side, you will notice that you shine with a certain light, and that all the other will shine with a certain light. And if you are fortunate enough to get approached by, say, the Jesus who died on the cross, or the Mother and Father God, or any of the patriarchs of the Bible, or the disciples, you will see the tremendous. And you also shine with the light, maybe not as bright as them, because they have a soul which is more evolved, and they've been living there in heaven for hundreds of years, and have had the advantage of developing themselves spiritually all those hundreds of years. And so, my friends, you will need to develop your... Hold on just a minute. Oh, he's barking over there. Oh, I knew it. I'm back. He's going to come out here and start barking. Anyway, it's all right. I've got, what time is it now? 6:23. I've got till 6:55 to keep on talking. So thank you for your patience. And so he had a chance to go out there and make a pee-pee if he needed to make a pee-pee, but it didn't. And he'd been biting up, chewing up everything. He's getting quite mischievous. He's been mischievous in what he's been doing, but we just have to tolerate him. We give him a lot of love, and he is a very loving dog, although he likes to tear things up, chew things up. Anyway, do you have a dog? We've got three, two older dogs than him. We rescued him from a dog park, and it's a good thing we did because he probably would have died. He was very emaciated. His ribs were showing, and we brought him home. And he's been a member of the family ever since. But sometimes he can get on our nerves, if you know what I mean. So the fourth force of the universe, going back to that, is that light that we have in our souls, that little piece, that spark of the supreme creator of the universe's divinity, if you will, that light which lights up our soul. And so the goal, the objective of us coming here to planet Earth is to increase the light of our souls. So let's say, for example, you're born with a 60-watt intensity soul, just as an example, then you want to increase that intensity to, say, maybe a 100-watt light bulb when you eventually do transition to the spirit realm, the afterlife. And how do you do that, you ask? By being a good person, having a good heart, being generous. I'm very grateful for all your blessings like I am. Also, to pray for people. Now, if I tell you something, for those who have not heard my show before, let me tell you something that I would like you not to forget, please, because we need your help in order for this world to survive and make it to, for everybody, to make it to a higher level of evolution. That's one thing I'm about to tell you, is something that you can remember and will help you to achieve that extra level of evolution. And will you not forget this, please? Don't forget it, okay? This is very important, because these words came from God himself, herself, because God is both male and female. The universe is both male and female. You better believe it. Don't be on the wrong side when it comes to discovering that on that day that you cross over to the other side and find out, oh, there is a mother God. Oh, I didn't know that angels were male and female. I didn't know that the universe was male and female, the alpha, the omega, the yin, the yang, the positive, the negative. Okay, what is this, what I'm trying to tell you? That man and women will pray, P-R-E-Y, on men or women until they learn to pray, P-R-A-Y, for men and women. Now, when I learned that, I've been praying all the time because I want to make this world a better place. I want to increase the light of my soul. I want to evolve my soul. I want to develop spiritually. And you can too. You can pray anytime and anywhere. All you got to do is establish a relationship. And do you know who the Creator is? What the Creator looks like? I'm not talking about the Mother and Father God in heaven who created your soul and your spirit and my soul and spirit, that you were born on the sun. Your soul and spirit were born in that sun and transported into this world by an angel and put into your mother's womb. I'm talking about the Creator of the universe who initiated the Big Bang. Maybe it's galaxy or even bigger, because there's so many galaxies in the universe, right? And a sparkling of energy that's inside of it, little sparks of energy, like electricity, everything, right, Creator? The universe is omnipotent, has the power to do anything, anything, anything you could think of. Be creative. You want to create a tree? How about some water, fire, animals, any animal? I'm looking at our cat sitting over there on the fence. Think of all the different types of cats. even big cats like lions and tigers, ocelots, lynxes, bobcats, the ordinary house cat, and the different hundreds of varieties that exist. Think about the over a million types in the oceans, rivers, different types of birds. And you know, I'm not talking about necessarily in our solar system, Jupiter, Hawkins, and stars that are out there. They're discovering planets each and every day with the Kepler and James Webb Space Telescope. So you know there are other planets out there that are like planet Earth. A lot of other planets like planet Earth. In our Milky Way galaxy, I would venture to say that there are thousands of Earth-like planets. How about that? Water is the secret ingredient of life. And we have it here on Earth. And like I said, there's an abundance of life here. Hold on just a minute, please. I'm back. We've got a water bottle that we use to spray Lenny. Some might think that's unkind, but it gets results. And I let him out in the backyard right now. He's just going to start barking and disrupt even more. And that water bottle has been very valuable. It gets him to stop biting, you know, jumping up. And I haven't hit him. I push him away. He jumps up and he'll bite. But I've been taught, thanks to my wife, and also I've determined that it's not good to hit a dog. To be honest with you, I did it before. I thought that was the right way to try to discipline them. But any creature, including a human being, is not a good thing. Always a way out of a situation, a violent situation. It's called absolute intelligence. Achieve absolute intelligence. So resort to violence to resolve any differences peacefully. But with this, we use a walk to keep them in this beginner work. Especially in his face. And I don't consider it cruel, especially if he's biting me and drawing blood. You know, like I said, I won't hit him. I don't want to hit him because I've done that before and I immediately regret it. And I've never, tell you the truth, I've never hit anybody in anger in my life. I've been in a few fights where I've been hit, punching, but I've never hit anybody back, even though I've got a black belt in Taekwondo. I've sparred with people, and that's different, though. But in anger, I've never hit anybody in anger. And how about you? Now, there are people out there that have killed other people. And some, maybe because they were in a war, which is somewhat justified. We could never really justify killing anyone. My father was with the British Army in World War II, and he was at Normandy and Dunkirk. And he told me, we talked about one time when he killed a German. It's one of those situations where either you kill them or they kill you, you know. He saw him, they both drew their guns, and my father shot him first, apparently. So what do you think would happen to the soul of that person he shot? You ever think about that before? Where did they go? Ghosts are a pretty thing on this planet. They are the people just like you and I, like us right now, living, walking, breathing the air, who have died suddenly and walked the earth plane, not knowing that they're dead, because they continue to exist in a different kind of form, but they never understood that they existed before. Can you explain why you're here? That you have a brain and a heart that beats independently of your will? That you have hundreds of miles of veins in your body? We are marvelous creations, indeed. What happens to that soul, like the man who was shot by my father, is that they are earthbound, and if you kill somebody, their soul, I guarantee you this is true, will haunt you for the rest of your life. That is true. So, I know what happened to my father. I could see it, the PTSD that he had, the alcohol that he drank, besides being in the war and, you know, in a situation where men are dying all around. He had a man die in his arms, and he might not have seen the planes fly overhead and drop bombs, and you don't know if they kill people. They don't know if they've killed anyone, but more than likely they're killing hundreds of people dropping all those bombs, you know? And each one of them, I get free by either prayer, decisions are made that would maybe draw them up into the second heaven, which is above the clubhouse, or the third heaven, if will, like I described in my book, The Great Soul in the Amazon Kindle Bookstore by Blake Ruby. That world of light that's just sunk beneath the trees. If you don't believe that, then you are where you're at in your soul's evolution. One day you will understand that. Maybe when we see each other in heaven, you'll come up to me and you'll say, you know what? You're right. Look at this world. It's a world of light. It's made of light. And Mother and Father God and the Creator are made of light too. And our spirits are made of light. Like I said, light energy, billions of electrons. And the Creator of the universe is that aurora borealis kind of energy. He knows everything. If you had an encounter with the Creator of the universe, let's just say, you out there, my friend, let's say you had a near-death experience and you drowned. I mean, really, really, really drowned. And you had water in your lungs and you were beneath the surface and you fell down to the bottom of this body of water. And let's say all of a sudden then you found yourself in kind of a outer space atmosphere with stars all around. You went through a veil, maybe a saran wrap. Right now, wow, it kind of looks like my physical body. And then you might say, oh my God, you know everything. And you hear back immediately telepathically, I know everything. And then you might say, oh my God, you can do anything. You're omnipotent. And you might hear back right away, I can do anything. I am omnipotent. There's nothing I can't do. I can create all this life on earth, and I can create the same life on other planets around the universe, or I can create different life that you can't even imagine or comprehend until you go to that planet and see what I've done. I've had the benefit of existing for 15 million years before I initiated the Big Bang, just me and my spirit. And I decided that I would grow in lifetimes, and they would assimilate water to increase me in size. Like, in fact, being microcosms of the Creator of the universe. And the universe would expand. One solar system after another, one galaxy after another, with the borders of infinite space. Infinite space, my friends, expanding as we talk right now, continuing to expand in accordance with the Creator's plan. And all these born on suns, in material worlds with souls, just like physical brain in your physical body, you have a soul in your spirit. It's like the brain of the spirit, and it shines light. When you get in front of your mother and father God who created your soul and your spirit, in that area known as the sea of glass, in the throne room, and their light is so bright, my friend. That's why it behooves us to develop ourselves spiritually. Plan ahead. Don't fail to plan. So when you get in front of them, and the light is so bright, It's like a hurricane force wind in its intensity. That's the only way I can describe it. And its glory, its brilliance will wash over you. And if you're not sufficiently developed to withstand that glory and brilliance, you will not be able to stay in their presence for long. That's just the way it is. And you'll have to get educated and trained and practiced to be able to withstand that brilliance and glory in the outer edges of the heavenly world. Yes, there is a holy city, and there is the gates. There are the gates of pearl all around the holy city. Paradise is on the outskirts of the holy city, and it's huge. There are fields and mountains that stretch for, if you say Earth is large, just imagine you can put 1,000 Earths into the size of the sun. That will give you an idea in your mind to think about what the fields of heaven look like. Those fields of gold, like the song by Sting, Fields of Gold. You remember me when the west wind moves upon the fields of glory. You'll forget the sun in the jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. Our roadways, our chariots, heavenly vehicles, kind of like gravity, usually driven by angels. I don't know if any of the redeemed spirits there drive these chariots. They can take maybe 10, 15 people to all places throughout paradise. And then, like I mentioned, there is the holy city where the patriarchs of the Bible live, other great spirits. And all these wonderful, beautiful spirits are happy and joyful and laughing. There's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no anger, there's no darkness in heaven. My friends, we're living here on this beautiful world, this planet, revolving around our sun, and our sun revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, going many hundreds and thousands of miles an hour. Our planet is revolving, rotating on its axis at 600 miles an hour. Our solar system is revolving around the Milky Way galaxy at thousands of miles an hour. The stretch of space that we were in yesterday is gone. We're in a new patch of space now. And I would venture to say that we're in a patch of space that we weren't even in this time a year ago, a patch of space we've never been in before. And the sun, the beautiful sun, the spirit world, feels, like I mentioned, green grass that you walk on with your spirit feet. It feels cool and beautiful and wonderful to walk on these fields of green grass. And there are fields of wheat, fields of gold, and the trees and the redeemed. And there are the fruit to eat and the leaves to smell that will strengthen your soul and spirit so you can withstand the brilliance of these powerful spirits that exist to include our mother and father God. And when you're in the throne room and you see angels, and there's angels everywhere, and see them, but they're there. You're never alone. You're never alone, my friends. People have these near-death experiences. May I ask you to watch one that will change your life if you watch it on YouTube, a YouTube video by Dr. Mary Helen Hensley. Mary Helen Hensley. She was in a car accident and died. You know, they happen. It's true. She left her body. We have that option, apparently. If you know you're going to die, you're in a situation where all of a sudden you see a car coming towards you at 60, 70 miles an hour, and it's about to T-bone you. You have that option to pop out of your body, or you're in the air. And it's going down. You don't have to wait until it hits the ground and crashes. You can pop out of your body and see it happen. Or you stay in the body and feel the pain, which doesn't last long in a situation like that. For her case, she got T-boned and her neck went through the window and it was broken. She broke her neck. Her head went. Check out that video. It's like 30 minutes long. She's a brilliant person. She was very psychic from when she was young, when she was a child. She said that when the accident happened and she popped out of her body and she looked and she saw everything happening, she saw after the accident, a responder, a policeman arrived on the scene. He reached in through the passenger window and turned the ignition off. And then a woman came by for no reason. If you need any assistance afterwards, you know, with insurance, she left her paper on a piece of paper, put it on the passenger seat, and the policeman saw her do that. And then also she knew that even though in a town where she lived at that time of 350,000 people, and a few cars behind her before the accident happened, she had knowledge that was like about three cars behind her and knew that it was her. She felt, having realized that it was her, her roommate that had lived. And when she got to the hospital, was recovering in the bed, the policeman came by and said, "You are one lucky lady." And she said, "Yes, I know." And she said, "Do you know, I saw you reach in and turn the ignition." And he said, "No." And he said, "Oh," started to freak out and slowly back away. And she said, "Oh, you knew me in college." And she came up and she was very distraught over the accident. And he broke down in tears, couldn't believe it, how she would know that. But the answer was simply, she had popped out of her body. Her spirit had popped out of her body and was looking down at her physical body, which, like I said, is a vehicle that we use to traverse this lifetime. It's like a coat we shed when we pass over to the afterlife, to the spirit world. There's nothing to be afraid of, my friends. There's 40,000 people dying each day around the world. 40,000. What about all those babies aborted, my friends? Back to the sun. I know in this election coming up, there's a lot at stake. Here we have an opportunity to elect a woman president, and that's a good thing because women have been mistreated throughout the centuries. Until just recently have they started getting equal rights. And I sympathize with that. I really do. But that in alone is not sufficient justification for us to vote for. Women need, in my opinion, to have more leadership roles in our world, because in order to make our world a more peaceful place, to transition from a war-oriented, or let me rephrase that, a world where there's been war throughout the centuries, and even now, still today, war is happening in different countries, to a more peaceful world where there is no more war. In order to do that, we will need more female leadership throughout the world. Because the mothers of our children, oh my God, the mothers of our children, the mothers who raised us, whether you're Christian or Muslim over there in the Middle East, they don't respect their mothers that much, but they will eventually. They're going through a tough time right now where the men aren't really leading the way like they should be. There's a lot of poverty in those areas of the world. Money is what it's all about for some people, and it's understandable. But I, to this day, still can't understand why they don't treat their mothers more lovingly, you know, and respect women more. Because a mother is less reluctant, is more reluctant to send their sons and daughters to some war or conflict, to fight in that particular war or conflict without any good reason. Like in Vietnam, 58,000 Americans died. And what did we prove when we were there? supposedly to defeat communism. It was really none of our business to be over there in the first place. But the military-industrial complex keeps on rolling, my friends. You know, that's a very powerful force. I don't know if that was the only reason why we got engaged in Vietnam. The French, and I think the Russians were there for empires, you know. The British Empire, the French Empire, they tried to control other countries, to invade and dominate other countries around the world, all in the interest of money. Back then, you know, money was a lot more scarce than it is now, so human trafficking was really big because that was really the number one way to make money, enslaving people, right? But the 58,000 men and women, I think, who died in Vietnam really didn't need to die. They could have been alive today watching sunsets and sunrises, eating their favorite meals, drinking their favorite beverages, raising children, having children, going on vacations, breathing the air, having fun, laughing, or in one place or another. Perhaps they have been reincarnated on other planets around the universe. My point is, women love their children more than men do, than the fathers do. That's because the babies are born in their body. They are created in the body of a female. But on the other hand, I see abortion as, and like I mentioned, there have been more babies aborted, 44 million alone in 2023 around the world. And all the wars in the history of the world. But women will find the answers. They'll make the right decisions. And my time is gone, my friends. And it's been a good time. Thank you for listening. Thank you to the Creator of the universe. Creator, please bless us, everybody, all your children. We love you. Thank you for everything. I know you love us. I'll talk to you next week, everybody. Take care. May God bless us, everybody. Bye-bye.